I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio. The holiday season is upon us, and with the celebrations means more eating and more drinking. Of course, expectant mothers are among those who won't be having that holiday drink. Or will they? It turns out more expectant mothers are having that occasional drink. My guest, Alyssa Jacoby, has written about this for the December issue of Boston Magazine. Alyssa, thanks for joining us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
And on the line from Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center is Dr. Steve Ralston. He's a specialist in high-risk pregnancy. Dr. Ralston, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Alyssa, let's start with your piece, which I have to say was a little startling for me because
really?
Conventional wisdom is, you know, you just don't drink during the pregnancy.
Sure.
But now there are studies, and I don't know where I've been, I hadn't heard about them, that suggest that there's no long-term harm due to the fetus if the mother drinks occasionally. And one study even suggests even binge drinking won't affect.
The study actually was up to five in one sitting, and as many as nine in a week wouldn't affect the cognitive, wouldn't have a cognitive impact on the baby 5 years later. So it was just looking at cognition.
That's pretty important.
As a five-year-old also, so.
Yes.
Well, it is pretty important, yes.
Yeah, and I mean, when these studies came out, did rock the sort of medical world and the world of pregnant women who have been told that there's a hard and fast rule, there's just no drinking?
I mean, I think what happens is that women get confused because they're hearing more and more that it is okay to have, you know, one or two, and they're asking their doctors more and more. For the most part, every doctor that I spoke with for this piece, though, still advises none, you know, completely, you know, the moms-to-be are abstinent, but do say that what these studies have allowed them to do is sort of put women at ease if they come in and say, you know, I didn't know I was pregnant, and I had, you know, a bunch of glasses of wine, and they'll say, you know, it's okay, just from now on, don't.
So, Dr. Steve Ralston, let's get you to weigh in on it. What do you think about these studies that suggest that there's not a long-term effect, perhaps, and that women should not be so concerned about being strictly abstinent?
Yeah, I think that the major advantages of these studies is that they do help us to reassure women who have inadvertently had a drink without knowing that they were pregnant, and to reassure them that those small amounts of alcohol are unlikely to cause problems for their baby. But what the studies don't show is that we have now a new low level of alcohol that we can recommend as being a safe dose in pregnancy. We don't have that information. And even the latest studies are only following kids up to 4 or 5 years of age. And what we don't know is what those kids are going to do in late elementary school, middle school, high school. And since we know that in large doses, alcohol absolutely does cause problems for some kids, our current recommendation is still to avoid alcohol in pregnancy because we don't know what the dose is that may cause a problem.
As we've said, you are a specialist in high-risk pregnancy. So you're saying abstinence for pregnant women, don't drink.
Yeah, I do say that. And I think it's like so many things that we tell women in pregnancy. There are some things that we know are safe because we have a lot of data on it. There's some things that we know is absolutely not safe because we have a lot of data on it. And certainly for large amounts of alcohol, we know that that's not safe. And so we're always sort of weighing the risks and benefits of treatments in medicine. And usually when we're prescribing medications or treatments that might harm the fetus or might harm the pregnant women, it's because there's some benefit you're going to be gaining by it that is so great that you're willing to take a small risk of harm. And the question I always have is, what is the great benefit of having one or two drinks during the pregnancy that might be avoided?
So what I've heard about is something called fetal alcohol syndrome, which, of course, is, you know, all of the symptoms that affect a fetus in very bad ways, and it's been linked to drinking in pregnancy. Are there other issues that could happen short of fetal alcohol syndrome?
Yeah, there seems to be a whole spectrum of neurocognitive disorders that kids can develop because of exposure to alcohol that isn't necessarily the full-blown fetal alcohol syndrome, which involves small weight and particular facial appearance as well as cognitive problems. So it doesn't have to be the full-blown syndrome that is the concern with alcohol ingestion in pregnancy. That being said, I do sympathize with women and their willingness and desire to keep themselves as healthy and their babies as safe as possible, but not want to restrict every single activity that they have in their lives.
And Alyssa Jacoby, author of the article in Boston Magazine examining pregnant women who are taking some drinks during pregnancy or did, that seems to be where those women are coming from. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I had a full life and I don't want to give up everything, as
right.
Dr. Ralston has said.
Exactly. There was the element of being pregnant is very stressful at the end of the week. I sort of celebrate that with a glass of wine, half a glass of wine. Some spoke to me about more. But also the idea that that, you know, they had these many years in front of them where they were going to be a different person. And this wine for them, the drink for them, sort of allowed them to feel that they were hanging on to this piece of themselves that they wouldn't have for very much longer.
That's my guest, Alyssa Jacoby. She has written about pregnancy and drinking in the December issue of Boston Magazine. Some women taking up the new studies that have come out that said there's not it's the harm that was once thought of in some studies saying that. I have on the line with me also Dr. Steve Ralston, who's a specialist in high-risk pregnancy at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, who says, well, we really don't know. And in the absence of not knowing exactly, and there are many other issues that one can have before you get to fetal alcohol syndrome, that perhaps it's best to not have that drink. What do you think? Should pregnant women drink? Call us at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970, or you can tweet us at Boss Pub Radio and give us your thoughts about this. It's hotly discussed in your article, Alyssa, mm-hmm. By a number of women.
Yes.
I think the obvious question would be to some of those women who say, I want my full life and my life's going to change and it's pregnancy stressful. Why can't I have a drink every now and then? But if you thought there may be any hint that there could be a problem, why take the risk?
Right. I mean, well, it was different for each woman. A lot, you know, a lot of women did give that reason as a reason not to drink, which was, you know, my doctor says it may be okay. My friends have said that it's been fine for them. At the same time, if something were to happen, even if it wasn't related to alcohol, or they could show that it wasn't related to alcohol, how would I know for sure, and would I feel bad about that forever?
I'm interested in both of you weighing in on this, both you and
yeah.
Dr. Yes, go ahead, Dr. Ralston.
Yeah, I was going to say that also each individual woman might not be able to assess her own risk for the pregnancy, because women are going to metabolize alcohol differently, and so the effects of one drink in one woman may be very different from the effects of one drink in another woman, and it's not necessarily correlated to how much a woman feels from one drink of alcohol. It just is all biochemical in the liver and in the placenta. So I think it's very difficult for women to know for themselves what that risk is. But I do think that women are able to sort of look at the data, understand the data, and say, this is a risk I'm willing to take. This is a risk I'm not willing to take. But from a medical perspective, it's our job to say what we think the risks are. And we think the risks are small but real and not zero.
So, are you pregnant? Did you wrestle with wanting to have a drink, or are you wrestling with wanting to have a drink? And this conversation is very interesting to you. 877-301-8970. Were you pregnant at a time when you didn't know drinking was harmful? Because we hear those stories too, Alyssa. And did your mom drink when she was pregnant with you? Give us a call at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970, or send us a tweet at Boss Public Radio, or write to our Facebook page. Now, that's what we hear all the time, doctor. I can't tell you how many people I've heard from just casually. I drank, I smoked, I did everything, and all my kids were fine. I mean, what's the doctor's response to that?
Yeah, it's hard to know what to say to that when I'm a physician at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, and my mother certainly smoked cigarettes when she was pregnant with me, and she had the occasional drink while she was pregnant with me, and yet I've been able to become who I become. So we know that not all babies are going to be adversely affected by these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that we can reassure women that if they are going to do it, that it's unlikely to cause problems, but we can tell them that it's not going to cause problems. And I think that's the real issue, is that I think that as the profession, we need to be able to give women as accurate information as we can, as completely as we can, to tell them what we know, to tell them what we don't know, and then these are intelligent, mature women who can then make decisions for themselves. People make decisions all the time about risk-taking. People get into a car every day and decide whether or not they're going to wear a seatbelt or not wear a seatbelt. I'm going to advise my pregnant patients to wear a seatbelt, but I'm not going to tell them that they are putting themselves at grave risk if they don't. They're putting themselves at a small risk.
Jennifer from Shrewsbury, Massachusetts. Go ahead, please. You're on Boston Public Radio 89.7.
Good afternoon. My grandparents lived in England during World War II. They were born there. And my grandmother was pregnant with my mother during World War II, when obviously things like meat and a lot of other food goods were severely rationed, very limited, or maybe not even available. And my grandmother's obstetrician actually prescribed a Guinness a day for my grandmother while she was pregnant with my mom for the iron that was in that is in Guinness. And it was, you know, that was one of his, that was a way of getting valuable nutrition to my mom while she was in utero.
Doctor, had you ever heard that before?
I have heard that. And in fact, we used to use alcohol as a treatment for preterm labor in obstetrics, IV alcohol. It was unlikely to cause fetal alcohol syndrome because it was given very late in the pregnancy for very short periods of time. But alcohol has been used in many, many situations like this. The problem is not that it might have benefited some women. The problem is it may have harmed some fetuses as well. And that we don't know. We do know that nutritional deprivation in pregnancy can be very harmful to fetuses, and that's why we want women to be eating healthy diets, and we don't want women to be nutritionally deprived during their pregnancy.
Our number is 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. We're talking about pregnant women drinking. Latest studies, as outlined in the piece by Alyssa Jacoby for the December issue of the Boston Magazine, talks with a lot of women who feel like taking a drink every now and then is okay, and they are holding up those studies as reasons to be allow them to do that. There's some suggestion in Alyssa's piece that doctors are quietly telling women that one or two drinks is okay. Dr. Steve Ralston from Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center is also with us, and he says, essentially, why take the risk? We just don't know. Medical science doesn't have a definitive answer about who is most at risk and who is not. Jody from Saugus, go ahead, please. You're on Boston Public Radio, 89.7.
Hi, Callie. I'm formerly a labor and delivery nurse, and I've got to say I completely agree with Dr. Ralston. I came from the era and had my children in the era where you didn't drink at all, you didn't use caffeine, you really didn't take any medications at all, you had natural childbirth, you breastfed your child, you made your own baby food. It was a total crunchy granola existence. And if we don't really know what the unit number of drinks can be that can or can't harm, I think we need to eliminate it. I think a lot of the current generation is a little bit more egocentric, and maybe we old folks say that. But we need to do what's best for the baby, and if we have an unknown risk, we need to eliminate it, if at all possible. I think when I was a child, there were always these weird kids in the neighborhood, and maybe they were the FAS babies. We don't have a way of knowing that.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the call, Jody. FAS, referring to fetal alcohol syndrome.
I think Alyssa will agree with this, but I think it's difficult for pregnant women to control everything and eliminate all risks from their lives, and that's a huge burden to put on women to say that they have to do that. And I think for all women, for all parents, that they have to figure out what makes sense for them in their particular situation and how much risk they think is acceptable.
Well, Alyssa, one of the things that came through in your piece is you made it very clear that the women that you were talking about who were deciding to take the occasional drink or perhaps more were very well informed. These are not people ignorant of the statistics,
right,
ignorant of the risks, as Dr. Ralston has outlined and as our nurse just outlined, but felt that they knew enough to be able to allow themselves to figure out where they stood in that risk, even though Dr. Ralston says really nobody can tell. Having said that, it feels like a very selfish question. I'm sure people are, you know, driving along thinking, well, okay, well, that's great for you, Mom. But, you know, there's an impact on a child here, potentially.
Right.
And why must you have a drink in 9 months? Why isn't that a very selfish reason for you to decide to take a drink?
Well, that was one of the reasons that we were interested in the piece also, is that it has become such an issue, you know, among pregnant women, but also pretty much among everybody. I mean, even if you're not pregnant or never will have a child, everybody, it seems, has an opinion about whether or not the pregnant woman should drink. And a lot of people are not afraid to go up to pregnant women and say something if they think somebody's, you know, she's having a cup of coffee or she's having a drink. She's very pregnant in a bar having a glass of wine. Some waiters have refused to serve a woman who's carrying a baby. And that's what we heard. And that sort of goes against what Dr. Ralston was talking about. These women are educated enough to make these decisions for themselves. We, you know, should we trust that?
And yeah, I agree. I think society is very hard on pregnant women. And when we start using words like selfish, I think that's a little bit going overboard. I mean, most pregnant women are making great decisions for themselves and their unborn children every single day. And to say because they make one choice here or there that they are therefore selfish people, I think is really unfair. On the other hand, it's also, I think, wrong to expect that all women, all parents are going to be 100% selfless all the time. And that occasionally to do something for yourself is going to be okay. The question is, what are those things going to be? And is taking a drink of alcohol going to be one of those things? And I agree. I think women can make that calculus, but as their provider, I'm going to advise them not to.
Alyssa, in your piece, Alyssa Jacoby, who wrote a story for the December issue of Boston Magazine, seemed to suggest that there has been a movement away from thinking about drinking or not drinking in pregnancy strictly as a medical issue to a moral one, which is a little bit of what you alluded to with people feeling free to comment on pregnant women and whether if they see them drinking. You included a story about a woman who was actually sitting in a bar drinking a non-alcoholic beverage, but it looked like a beer and people went crazy.
Right. I got a lot of that, which was a lot of women who did decide to drink wouldn't do it in public. And a lot of women who decided to drink would kind of do it in public just because they resented the idea that other people were telling them not to or judging them. I did have a few stories about even women at Starbucks or, you know, getting coffee being questioned. Should you be having that when you're pregnant?
Mm. Wow.
That woman wasn't actually even pregnant.
I would not have liked that. Karen from Medford, go ahead, please. You're on Boston Public Radio, 89.7.
It's obviously a very interesting debate, and I think that there are points that are valid on both sides of it. I have a 2.5-year-old and a 1-year-old, and I did have an occasional glass of wine with dinner once or twice a week, which I guess is more than occasional. But I have to side with Dr. Ralston, however, though, because I think that if the medical community were to come out and give a blanket okay for women to drink alcohol, I think it would be too much of a license for many women. And I believe it would open up a Pandora's box of potential harm to many unborn children, because some people may not know what their limit is or take it too far and think that it's okay because it's been okay. They may not know all of the facts. They just heard that it was okay.
So when did you drink in your pregnancy, and why did you decide that it was okay on those occasions for you to drink?
On those occasions, because I think food and wine paired together the right way is a phenomenal experience, and it was what I enjoy. I love to drink a nice glass of wine with a great meal and really enjoy that. It wasn't a social thing. It was just more of a lifestyle thing and how we prepare meals and how we eat them.
And was this early on in your pregnancy or throughout your pregnancy?
I would say it was probably throughout my pregnancy, and it was probably once a week at most, and there were some weeks where there was none. But my bigger concern is that if the medical community were to come out and say, you know, it's okay, it's okay to do this, that there would be many women out there that don't know all the facts that would take it to the limit, potentially take it too far because they didn't believe that there were risks. And I would hate to see that happen widespread.
And clearly you felt that you had assessed the risk and it was okay for you.
Yeah, absolutely, because I wasn't going out, downing a whole bottle of wine myself.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. you know, multiple times throughout the week. It was different. You know, it wasn't to get a certain result from it in terms of how I felt, to relax me or unwind me, or where, you know, you have that feeling of having alcohol in your system. I would have it with dinner. You know, there was nothing else going on other than that.
Okay. All right. Well, Karen, thank you very much for the call. One of the things that I would like to follow up with Karen, Dr. Ralston, that Alyssa mentioned in her piece is just, you know, and I've read other places, is how much in any one sitting. So we're talking about a glass, but in America, a glass is almost a full bottle of wine sometimes. Whereas, and seriously, but you know, I'm a person that enjoys wine, but I, you know, I've said this is ridiculous. And people drink it because they feel like I paid for it. I'm drinking all of it in one sitting. Whereas in other places, and it's really a tasting amount, which is about 4 ounces. I mean, right there, there's a huge difference, Dr. Ralston.
Yeah, that's true, but I don't think that we have different data from the United States than we do from other countries in terms of the risks of alcohol and pregnancy. I think that the data is based on volume of consumption, and that in countries where volume is less in a glass of wine, there's still fetal alcohol syndrome. And even in those countries, the recommendations from the medical boards, et cetera, is still to avoid alcohol in pregnancy.
Mm. Well, so where does this leave us, really? So you have an article like this where some women say, and then we got this great caller saying, look, you know, I'm worried about what would happen if there was just an open policy that anybody can drink however much, but yet I felt comfortable occasionally having a drink. Alyssa, where do you didn't leave us anywhere at the end.
Where
except
do I
to
stand?
Say, yeah, no, not just where you stand, but where do you think it's going from what you gathered from the women you talked to?
I think that women are interested in knowing what the risks are, and for the most part, do not want to do anything that harms their babies. So, I think it's a question for every woman to have with her doc, you know, conversation to have with her doctor, and it's important to have that conversation.
All right, Cicely from Winchester, go ahead, please. You're on Boston Public Radio 89.7. Cicely? Oh, are we having a hard time getting Cicely?
I'm sorry.
Oh, there we go. Cicely, yes. Hi.
Hi. I'm in my, all 17 and older. I drank very, very little with my very first pregnancy because once I knew I was pregnant, I think I had one drink at Christmas time, and then that was about it. With the third one, I drank more, and, you know, all kids are different. My youngest kid has learning issues. He's a senior in high school. And he's struggled through his life, and I won't ever know if that's because of the alcohol or because of something else. But you know, I kind of wish I hadn't drunk when I was pregnant with him.
So you regret having had
that? I wish I had abstained, because you know what? You don't have to stop your life once the kids are born. You know, you can get babysitters and go out and have the drinks that you want. But you know, when a baby is relying on you for everything, you know, a fetus, I guess I would take the stance that I would do whatever I could to not do anything that could potentially harm that baby.
And do you think that those women in Alyssa's piece who say, gee, you know, limits are being placed on who I am, and I'm a thoughtful, informed person, and I can make a decision for myself, You think they're ill-informed, or they should not go down that road?
You know, I don't like to tell other people what to do. I'm just saying that, and I never like to be told what to do by others, but life doesn't end when you have babies. And I think that to abstain for 9 months isn't a big deal. Lots of people quit for their entire lifetimes for various reasons or others, you know, and your life can still be a full life without alcohol. So I'd avoid it if I were to have other children. I would avoid it. Why not?
All right.
There's lots of other fun things to do without alcohol.
Okay. So. Thank you so much for your call, Cicely. So Dr. Ralston, you know, Cicely seems to be going in the direction that that Alyssa said, really, even though there were women in her piece who were suggesting that it's okay, really nobody wants to take the risk that there's some potential harm to the baby.
Yeah, and I think like what we need to do as a profession and as a society is to be sympathetic to the plight of women who are pregnant and who are trying their best to be good parents. And here's a woman who is questioning whether or not the couple drinks that she had during her pregnancy led to learning problems in her child 18 years later. And I think that we need to do whatever we can to sort of minimize the amount of guilt that women feel mm-hmm. for choices that they make during pregnancy, but to give them information that can help them make good, rational choices.
So I did want to get you to weigh in on those studies which, you know, as you point out, still don't give you the definitive answer. No study does about what would be the exact amount you'd take to cause a potential problem.
Yeah.
You know, do you feel that there were pretty solid studies? You just, you know, in the end, you know, cannot sign on to the bottom line conclusion.
I think the studies were very good studies in answering the question that they asked, which was, does this amount of alcohol affect cognitive behavior at 5 years of life? But what it didn't answer is 8 years of life, 12 years of life, 16 years of life, which I think we care about. And so I still don't have the answer to that question. I'm not sure we ever will get the answer to that question, so I don't think we'll ever be able to say, yes, a drink a week is safe. I don't think we'll ever be able to say that. But I think we can reassure women who inadvertently drink a glass or two of alcohol during their pregnancy to say, you know, it's really unlikely to have caused any harm. Please don't be worrying about this.
But don't do any more. But don't drink any more.
But I can't tell you that it's safe.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, you know, we've discussed whether or not, you know, different amounts make a difference in this country or and around the world and how they consume alcohol. We generally have much more in our wine glass than maybe across the water. But is drinking in general while pregnant a particularly American thing or something that Americans are concerned about? And are other cultures just not focused on this at all, period? Doctor.
You know, I'm going to have to defer on that one. I'm not a sociologist, mm-hmm. so I can't tell you that.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of American women in this piece pointed to Europe, where it is accepted to drink and possibly smoke while pregnant. But as Dr. Olson pointed out, it's the official position in France is also to not drink while pregnant. In England, it's not the same, but.
So, Dr. Rolston, I asked Alyssa the question, you know, where she thought it was going. When you see patients now, and again, you're dealing with high risk pregnancies, so maybe maybe the patients you see have some other issues. But are you seeing or hearing from your colleagues that there is more asking about this? Is this not an issue per se, but something that is part of a conversation that a pregnant woman may have with her doctor, let's say, more in the last 5 years than 10 years ago or 20?
No, I don't think so. I think that this is sort of accepted medical truth in most women's minds that you should avoid alcohol in pregnancy, and so they don't usually raise the question. I think they have many more questions about other things in their lives, like whether or not they should eat sushi or whether or not they can drink caffeine or whether or not they can get their hair dyed. And those questions come up much more often than, can I have a drink of alcohol? Because I think most of them think they can't.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the button on that for this moment. We've been talking about drinking in pregnancy, and I've been speaking with writer Alyssa Jacoby. She's written about this for the December issue of Boston Magazine. And Dr. Steve Ralston, you just heard him, has also been with us. He specializes in high-risk pregnancy, and he's based at the Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
You've been listening to another edition of Boston Public Radio. Thanks for joining us. The conversation never ends online at WGBHnews.org. Boston Public Radio is a production of WGBH Radio. I'm Callie Crossley. Have a great afternoon.